Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Labota, freelance journalist and FAST team representative in Southwest Florida, who is today's host.
Good morning. This is your host, Amy Labota, and today I have with me Brad Hayden. Brad is the president and founder of Robotic Skies. That's roboticskies.com, which is a unmanned aerial vehicle company, and more than that. But one of the reasons we decided to have Brad come talk to us is because Brad comes from the manned aviation world. Not only that, but he comes from the avionics world, so he's crossed over now. And we want to know why, and we want to know what's going on, whether we should be afraid, very afraid, of these unmanned aerial vehicles. Brad, welcome to the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Amy. It's great to be here.
So start at the beginning. What drew you to UAVs?
You know, there's a huge misperception out there that UAVs are an entirely new industry. And you're seeing people talk about UAVs like things have never been flying in the skies before. And even when they start talking about the manned aircraft that are flying, it's like those are the guys that are out there that are all stodgy and practice safety just because, you know, they're full of themselves. And so it's really an interesting dynamic to watch the two camps work together. So I've been following the UAV crowd for quite some time. Even while I was still at Aspen Avionics, I was keeping an eye on that segment really out of hobby more than anything else. And really the conclusion that I came to is this is going to be the next growing market segment of aviation. This is what we're going to see in the future of aviation. In my mind, the future of flight is really embedded in the combination of this new technology with the existing aviation support infrastructure and community. So in January, I left Aspen to start Robotic Skies, which is a company that is comprised of a network of Part 145 repair stations, so avionics shops, fully certified, that are going to be optimized to service the emerging commercial drone fleet as it starts to take to the air in the United States. If you think about it from a safety aspect, this makes a ton of sense, because do you want to be flying in the skies with something that's maintained by a hobby shop or maintained by a professional maintenance organization like a Part 145 repair station that's working on your airplane?
When you put it like that, it makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so too. So, you know, it's really interesting to watch this growing dynamic between these two communities. You know, on the one hand, again, you have the UAV guys that, by and large, and I'm speaking in generalities here, because of course you have the guys in the defense industry, Northrop, Lockheed, they know all about aviation, right? They know what it takes to fly an airplane. They know what it takes to certify an airframe. But a lot of these guys are coming out of technology. And in their minds, boy, they don't need no stinking certification. It's really that simple. So, you know, they're taking the tack that, look, our stuff is small, it only weighs a few pounds. I actually had a CEO of a very large UAV company tell me, look, our stuff is so small, only weighs a couple of pounds. If it hits you in the head, it's not gonna hurt you. To which my response was, well, when's the last time you got hit in the head with a couple of pounds? Because it hurts. There's rules of the road to fly in the skies. You've got to be able to understand airspace. You got to be able to understand the responsibility that you're taking when you put something up in the air. You have to be able to navigate safely and be able to really thread the needle of what's required to fly safely in the skies without really impacting anybody else's safety.
How many of these avionics shops are going to be doing repair and installation of avionics on UAVs?
That's really one of the exciting things of this. The Part 145 repair station network that is being put together right now really understands the potential for this new market. In addition to the repair stations that I myself own, which are three, we've actually have a network that is comprised of over 40 repair stations now. The more that the UAV community can lean on the existing aviation support infrastructure, the more rapidly it's going to be adopted.
But it's still scary to a lot of people, the idea of commercial drones, some pre-programmed, some actually being handled from the ground directly, flying around in the same airspace.
Yeah.
Are those people on the ground responsive enough? Do they care enough to keep themselves out of the way of aircraft that are manned and passengered?
Yeah, and it is scary, and it's serious business. And the sooner we can get the UAV community educated on that fact, the sooner that we will be able to coexist with these airframes flying in our airspace. You know, I hear a lot from the UAV community, for example, well, we're just going to be flying agriculture in the beginning, and we're only going to stay below 400 feet. Well, every time I go to the farm in Kansas and see my uncle, we fly his J3 Cub right off the grass strip, and we don't go any higher than 400 AGL looking for cows. So we're right in there and right in that area that they're claiming is going to be a safe zone for them to fly in. So actually, it's not that safe. They need to be aware that there are going to be aircraft flying, even in places where they don't think they're going to be flying. There's a bunch of things that the FAA is doing, and I think they're taking very small incremental steps. The FAA is under a tremendous amount of pressure to allow these things into the airspace for economic reasons, for political reasons, for social reasons. The one requirement that we're not going to see the FAA waive is any type of pilot certification. So that doesn't mean they have to go out and get their full-on commercial. And every time you talk to the UAV people about you're going to have a pilot certificate, they think the worst. Oh my God, I've got to have my IFR, I've got to have my, you know, commercial, my multi-engine. No. But you might have to get some training about airspace. You might have to go through some ground schools. You might have to learn how to talk to ATC and what the proper protocol is for those types of operations.
How about right-of-way rules?
Right-of-way is going to be huge. you know, I think they're going to follow very similarly to what we've got with right-of-way rules right now when you look at sailplanes or you look at balloons. And these guys flying the UAVs, they are not going to have the right-of-way. They're going to need to get out of the way, because it's going to be much easier for them to maneuver out of the way than it would be for a manned aircraft. Plus, they've got a lot less to lose if they've got to bring their UAV down fast to get out of somebody else's way. That's my guess. The rules are in the middle of being put together right now. Again, the FAA is under a tremendous amount of pressure. They're trying to figure out how to separate hobby rules from commercial rules. And that's a big deal right there, because, you know, you have the American Modeling Association that has had, you know, guidelines for flying really for 50 years or more. And now they're trying to figure out, how do we separate out the hobbyist from the people who are trying to fly commercially? Mm-hmm. And how do we create an environment where people can still enjoy their hobby without, you know, taking down an airplane? The problem is the technology is getting so sophisticated. It's getting so powerful in what it can do. So to give you an example, I spoke at the Aircraft Electronics Association last year, an association, by the way, that's really trying to get out ahead of this as well.
Yes.
and get their members educated about what this technology is and what the benefits could be. I have a little multi-rotor I took off out of my backyard in New Mexico. I live behind an arroyo. I took it off out of my backyard. I'm at 5,800 feet. I reached the service ceiling of 400 feet, which is as high as I can fly for a hobbyist, in 18 seconds. So just to give you an idea of how quickly these things can just go. I mean, they're very powerful. The power to weight ratio is just tremendous in these things. And they can get out of control very quickly. So pilots need to understand that, UAV pilots, that they are operating craft that are very sophisticated and can get them in a lot of trouble if they're not careful.
Well, and there's one more thing that pilots who are flying manned aircraft are very worried about, which is the compromisability of these craft, i.e., can somebody hijack it?
You know, that is a concern, and it's always going to be a concern, because yes, you can hack into any type of remote electronic device. And there will be safeguards for those types of things. I'm an optimist in this regard. I really
okay.
am. Because I believe that we're going to come up with technology solutions to solve all these issues. They've already got technology, for example, that can put a box around a UAV so it can't exceed a certain altitude.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can't even engage in a certain distance of an airport.
Okay.
So it's going to take somebody really maliciously once this technology gets really mature, that's going to have to go out and really try to hack into one of these things. Are bad people going to try to do bad things all the time? That's never going to change. But we're going to have technology to push back on that. But more importantly, we're going to have pilots who are trained to understand that maybe their UAV is being hijacked, just like we do with manned aviation today.
Well, that's a real... It's scary. In the world of thousands of green laser flashing at aircraft at night issues and having to put a bounty on that just to get people turned in,
right.
You know, the idea that you could go to your hobby shop and buy remote controlled aircraft and then do bad things with it is real scary.
Right. I think, I will tell you frankly, I'm not as worried about the bad things as I am just the silly things.
Okay.
There's YouTube videos of people taking a small remote control foamy aircraft, flying first person view and flying it up to 22,000 feet. You know, so it's up there. You know, that's just not smart to do. The thing is, I am seeing a huge shift in the UAV community. They're starting to understand that, okay, this is serious. We need to, while we want to pursue the commercial opportunities, but this technology is too compelling and has too many uses for us to just ignore it. It is not going to go away. As much as I know the manned aviation world oftentimes would like to see that, we are going to be sharing our skies with these people. These craft can fly missions that right now are getting people killed. If for any other reason, we need to embrace this technology, because every time a plane crashes, that's another pilot that we lose, and we need all the pilots we can get right now.
We are speaking with Brad Hayden. He's the founder and president of Robotic Skies. Brad, they can find you at roboticskies.com, is that right?
That's right, that's right.
Have a great show.
Thank you, Amy.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.